Today with Joseph Prince.
Church, let me just tell you this. The rapture will happen so fast that only those who are safe will be attuned to him. When a magnet passes by, all kinds of objects, rubber, plastic, nothing happens. But there's paperclip. That's a paperclip means all those who are safe, those who are born again. All right, it passed by. That's it. Amen? You might be a small paperclip. You might be a big paperclip. You might be a blue paperclip, might be a red paperclip, might be a yellow paperclip. Doesn't really matter as long as you're a paperclip. But don't be an imitation plastic. All right? Once the big magnet, amen, comes over us, we're all going up. All that we see happening around the world today, that I was telling the pastors just the other day that the devil is outplaying his hand. By causing the focus to be on Israel in these last days, he's actually helping to fulfill Bible prophecy. Because 100 years ago, Israel wasn't a nation. We know they were 2,000 years ago, but in AD 70, the Romans came in, Jesus prophesied, Jesus told them that, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish I would have gathered you like a mother hen would gather her chicks under her wings, but you would not have me. And now your house used to be the house of the Lord. Used to be, Jesus said, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Used to be the Lord's house, but now he says, behold, your house is left to you desolate. It has become their house. And about 40 years after that, the Romans came in and they destroyed the temple and took the Jews captives to all the four corners. Literally for 2,000 years, they've been in the four corners of the earth. Even in Singapore, you have them. But the Bible says they'll return. And our generation, or the previous generation, in 1948, saw Israel come back as a nation against all odds. Against all the odds, they came back as a small, tiny nation. And Isaiah prophesied, is it possible? Shall a nation be born in one day? As soon as Zion travails, she bring forth her children. It's a story of only one nation, the nation of Israel. Amen? Now, what the Lord has for us today is to be alert, to be awake, to realize that you are definitely in the last days. Amen. And what have we got to look forward to? I want to announce to you, the Lord is our bridegroom and he's coming back for his bride. Amen. So first and foremost, I want to tell you there are two phases to the second coming of the Lord. And people confound the two. They confound the rapture with the second coming of the Lord. The Lord will return after the 7 years of tribulation. He will return for Israel, not for the church. For the church, he will come in the rapture. Amen. Matthew 24, real quick, up here. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, say the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things, all these beautiful stones and all that? He says, assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And we know that happened, right? In AD 70, the Romans came and they burned down the temple. And they overthrew the stones. Today, you go to Israel, you'll find the large stones below, all overthrown. Not one stone left upon another. The Western Wall is not the temple wall. There's no more temple. The stones have been overthrown. Now, he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? So there are three questions here. Remember, Matthew 24 is spoken. Listen carefully. It's going to help you because when you read Matthew 24, which is a very long discourse of our Lord Jesus, if the second coming is not important, pray tell me why did Jesus speak so long on it? The entire chapter 24, he spoke on his coming and the signs of that coming before he comes. Now, listen carefully. Matthew writes to the Jews. We can benefit from it, of course. Okay, but primarily the gospel of Matthew is written to the Jews. There are three questions here. The disciples asked Jesus, Peter, James, and John, according to Mark, came to him, and Andrew came to him. Tell us, when will these things be? First question. When will this temple be thrown down, all the stones be thrown down? When will these things be that you just spoke of? Number one question. Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? Not the rapture. They do not know about the rapture yet. Don't forget, the rapture is a mystery. They're talking about the coming of the Lord at the end of the Jacob's trouble, 7 years of tribulation. What will be the sign of your coming? Number three, and the end of the age. What is the end of the age? What is the sign of the end of the age? I want to announce to you something that will help you. Matthew 24 is not for the church. It is spoken to Jewish believers who will live in the last days after the rapture. Are you listening? The signs of his second coming. In the rapture, Jesus comes for us. In the second coming, he comes with us. All right? You know what's for us and with us? Don't turn this into an English class, okay? All right? So he's coming back for his bride, but he will come back with us at the end of 7 years for Israel. Amen. And when he comes for us, all right, it's the end, in a sense, in the end of the church age, because the church is raptured. Church is not a building. Church is made up of people, Jew and Gentile, amen, who have received the Lord. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Where do we find the rapture? Well, 6 hours after Jesus sat down with the disciples on Mount of Olives, looking at Jerusalem, talking about the future. I love it. You know, you see this outwardly, it looks like a carpenter sitting down there, all right, and describing the events of Europe. Cool. All right, before it all happens. Can I have a good amen? Amen. At that time, the temple was still there, standing. The stones were still there. In fact, when General Titus of the Roman legion came in, Titus actually, who became emperor of Rome later on, he was the son of the emperor, and he said, do not destroy the temple. He told his soldiers, they actually destroyed it. Jesus, the Son of God, said, it will be destroyed, and it was. So, 6 hours after he shared on the Mount of Olives about Matthew 24, 6 hours about 6 hours, he was in the upper room, the Last Supper, and the upper room are all truths, what we call church truths. It's for the church. Okay? Then he told them this. Imagine him standing down there knowing that even as he's speaking, he's being betrayed. And in a few hours' time, he'll be hanging on the cross. And that last night, you know what, Jesus, look at them, and Jesus says in the upper room, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You're about to find the key to having a heart that is not troubled. Are you ready? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now this is spoken to the church. In my Father's house are many mansions. He didn't say, in my Father's house are many huts. Mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you to myself. I will come again and receive you to myself. This is the rapture. Are you listening? All right? That where I am, there you may be also. For the first time, Jesus unveiled to them a rapture. People call it secret rapture. You can call it what you want. Yes, it is for his own. Actually, the rapture is nothing more than us having our final inheritance, which is a brand new body, a glorified body. Are you listening, people? Now, there are those who say that only those, they believe in partial rapture. Let me just establish that the grace of God teaches us to look for the blessed hope, not for death. You know that death is not a scriptural posture. Like people say, you know, everyone dies once and all that. Do you know that statement is not scriptural? It's not New Testament posture. We have to look up, not look down. Are you listening? Well, all of them in the past also, they in every generation, Pastor Prince, they look for that, but they died. Yeah, but think about it. 100 years ago, was it possible for the Antichrist to sign a peace treaty with Israel? Where would they sign it? In London. Because Israel didn't exist 100 years ago. Come on, are you with me? All right? The Israelites were not back yet. So for the 7 years of tribulation, there is Israel back in its land. Come on. Sabbath is being instituted. Today you go to Israel, you have cold food for Sabbath. Amen? Your elevator takes a long time to come down in your hotel room. Am I right? Yeah, it's back. So 100 years ago, it's not possible. Amen? We are the generation that's seen this happen. Now, having said that, I want to tell you this, that there's nothing for us to look for the rapture. There's no event pointing to the rapture. Rapture can happen anytime. Anytime. Now, in the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus actually said 3 times, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Behold, I am coming quickly. Behold, I am coming quickly." Show them real quick. Last chapter of the entire Bible, chapter 22 of Revelation. "Behold, I'm coming quickly." All right? Drop down verse 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly." All right? And last few verses of the Bible. All right? "Surely, I am coming quickly." And someone says, "Well, 2,000 years have come and gone. Doesn't sound so quick." Okay? What they miss is this. When he said quickly, he's not referring to time. The word takus here in Greek means when he comes, bang, it'll be sudden. That's the word quickly. Vine says swiftly. It will happen in 1 Corinthians 15, it says it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. You know how fast that is? Okay, y'all look at me. Yeah, that's it. All right? When it comes, you will hear a shout, "Come up here!" Boom! Next thing you know, you are in heaven. All right? You've got a brand new body. And you'll be good looking. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's hope for you, bro." Amen? Look at another sister and say, "Sister, look out. Your facial redemption draws near." Okay, so 3 times he's saying, I'm coming quickly, not in terms of time, but in terms of suddenness. Suddenness, in the twinkling of an eye. Are you ready? All right? And in 1 Thessalonians, where we find the rapture, touch on in detail. I think I just want to show you first in Titus. Show them Titus. "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present age." That's what grace would teach you. Amen. It's not for us to teach. It's for grace to teach. It's for us to teach grace. And grace will teach people. Amen. And then, look, another thing. Verse 13, "Looking for the blessed hope." This grace will also teach us to look for the blessed hope. "And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Amen. Can you see that? Can you see that? Yes. All right? It's part of the grace teaching to teach people to look for the blessed hope. Yes. Amen. Now, if not all of us are going to be raptured, okay, I tell you this, unbelievers will not be raptured. Professing Christians and not possessing Christians, they profess they have eternal life, but they don't have eternal life. They're never saved. Will not be raptured. But I don't believe in a partial rapture. If you're born again, you are going up. You don't agree with me, we can talk about it on our way up. All right? But whether you believe, you don't believe, but the point is that you are robbing yourself of the blessed hope. When you see the papers and the media and all that, you're worried about what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen to your finances, what's going to happen to your family and all that. Of all the generations, we are the generation, I think of any that have seen Israel come back as a nation, we can fully expect, come on, that most likely is our generation. Amen. In this year of Jubilee, amen? Yes. Are you with me so far? Yes. So those who teach that we are going through the tribulation, they don't understand that the tribulation 7 years, the last part of Daniel's prophecy given by the angel Gabriel, actually 7 years, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble, a great tribulation, and it's called the day of God's wrath, or the day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you," Paul is writing, "how you turned to God from idols," he told the Thessalonian Christians, "to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven." You see, I told you, almost every book in the Bible talks about it. "To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Amen. 7 years is those 7 years is known as the day of God's wrath. Amen. God is pouring upon those lawlessness, upon people that have broken his covenant, those who came against Israel, and all that, all right? In these 7 years, God is pouring his wrath. We are delivered from the wrath to come. He's writing to Christians when he says he will deliver us from the wrath to come. He's not referring to condemnation that they already have. They've been delivered from eternal wrath, from the lake of fire. All of us have. But we'll be delivered from the wrath to come. Praise God. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Amen. You feel the hope rising? Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It tells us God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, writing to Christians, this is not talking about salvation, being born again, talking about our salvation of our new bodies. Romans 8 says the redemption of our bodies. How many know that you're going to have a brand new body? You're going to look good, bro. You're going to look good, sister. No need day talk, bo talk. Talk, talk. All right? But meanwhile, while waiting, help yourself. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Same book, same book. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. So whenever the Holy Spirit says He doesn't want us to be ignorant, don't be ignorant. All right? I do not want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is a term used for believers. We don't die because Jesus has conquered death. The sting of death is gone. But while people are waiting for Jesus to come, should they pass on, it's called fallen asleep. So what happened to Thessalonian believers? They had Paul in their midst. Paul actually ministered there for 3 weeks, only for 3 weeks. But during the 3 weeks, Paul taught them about the rapture. Think about it. 3 weeks, he mentioned about the rapture. But then after Paul left, some of them passed on, their loved ones passed on. So they thought that these loved ones, what's going to happen to them? Because Paul says those who are alive will be caught up, but my loved ones have died. Will they miss the rapture? So Paul wrote to them this letter saying that, don't sorrow as others who have no hope concerning your loved ones who fall asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Then he says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So whatever he's about to say about the rapture, it is not a figment of his imagination. It is the word of the Lord. I said it is the word of the Lord. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. All right, he says that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Drop down. For the Lord Himself, I love this, the Lord Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Amen? The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So the rapture is such that He comes, the world won't even know because it happens in the twinkling of an eye. We will hear His voice, the world won't. All they know is that we all disappeared. And that's why the world is preparing movies like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You see how many intelligent people believe in UFOs but not in God? It takes more faith, you know? Because the devil does all kinds of apparitions in the heaven. Jesus talked about the signs in the sky so as to deceive even the very elect. The Jews will be deceived. It talks about it. So, church, let me just tell you this. The rapture will happen so fast that only those who are safe will be attuned to Him. When a magnet passes by, all kinds of objects, rubber, plastic, nothing happens. But there's paperclip. Let's say paperclip means all those who are saved, those who are born again. All right? It passed by. Poof, that's it. Amen? Now, you might be a small paperclip. You might be a paperclip. All right? As good looking as Pastor Mark sitting in front here. And he looks good tonight. All right? You might be a big paperclip. You might be a blue paperclip. Might be a red paperclip. Might be a yellow paperclip. Doesn't really matter as long as you're a paperclip. But don't be an imitation plastic. All right? Once the big magnet, amen, comes over us, we're all going up. Are you listening, people? In fact, in this passage, twice, those who teach, well, only those who are specially faithful will go up. The other day, I was having dinner with some friends. We invited some other friends. And usually I always get caught with friends of friends. All right? And this friend asked me this question. He's a believer. All right, he says that, you believe that everyone will be raptured? I said, yes. Well, I believe only those who are faithful. Then I said, I believe you are one of them. He said, yes. I said, how faithful is faithful? At what point is faithful faithful, then you are faithful? How do you know you are faithful? Until what point are you faithful, then you are faithful? You know, so he looked at me, what do you mean? All right, let me just tell you this. Thessalonians is the same book where Paul actually told the Christians that some of them were busybodies, they were walking disorderly, they were lazy, not working. If any will not work, neither should he eat, he says. And some Christians were lazy. Yet, he says this, the Lord himself, go back, look at this. Who will qualify? This we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, all you need to do is be alive and remain. Didn't say those who are special overcomers, those who are specially devoted. Usually, this kind of teaching is born out of pride. And usually they include themselves, that they are going, but the rest are not, because they are not faithful. Now, don't go to the 10 virgins and all that, because the 10 virgins only appear in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is after Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is what I talked to you just now about the Jews. Okay? And 10 virgins is a bridesmaids. It's not the bride. Oh! It's not... I just hit a home run. 10 virgins are accompanying the bride. Notice the bride is not there. Raptured already. It's coming back for the Jews. You know, remember how, guys, how the bridesmaid makes life difficult for us? We're not in love with them, right? Remember, at the door, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta drink this, you gotta drink that, and all that. Hee-haw! Give me my woman! Get out of the way, woman! You know, but they make life difficult. I gotta do push-ups, you know. I still remember I gotta do push-ups. They are not the ones I marry, thank God. Right? You're marrying the bride. Okay, that's another thing altogether. But notice, we who are alive and remain, drop down. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Even those who are busybodies, those who are lazy amongst them, who are Christians, those who are not working. It says we who are alive and remain, they are amongst them. As long as they're saved. I'm just reading Bible, people. Are you listening? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. All right? Behold, I tell you a mystery. The rapture is a mystery. A mystery means you can't find it in the Old Testament, even though there are experiences of rapture. Enoch was raptured bodily. Elijah was raptured bodily. Remember that? So the rapture happened in the Old Testament, but now will be a wide scale rapture of the church. And then you'll find people who call themselves whatever names they are in Christendom, saying after we are raptured, well, however they disappeared and all that, I'm still around. And people be confused instead of seeing the truth of the rapture, but many will repent when they see us disappear. Amen. And you know who will evangelize today? Evangelized during the 7 years? 144,000 Billy Graham, who are Jews. 144,000 Jewish evangelists will preach the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? So I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know why I underline the all? Okay, what book is this? You know the Christians in Corinthians, they are called babies in Christ. By Paul. So all means what? Includes them. About those Christians that are suing one another in court. In Corinthians. And some of them were going to temple prostitutes. All right? Paul rebuked them. Don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Should I take the members of Christ and make them one with a prostitute? A harlot? He rebuked them. But he still rebuked them as like a father would rebuke a child. We shall all be changed. Amen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Look at me. That's it. All right? Was there a twinkle? Oh, you missed your chance. Anyway, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Imagine your body is incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he says, go on. When this corruptible has put on incorruption, you're going to have a body that is incorruptible. Incorruptible. You cannot grow old anymore. You cannot have disease anymore. No more pimples, no more wrinkles, no more falling hair, no more falling teeth, no more falling everywhere. We have a brand new body. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And we're not floating like a spirit. We have a body. And think of this, this body here, all right? When if this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your, oh, hell, where is your victory? Drop down. The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ in the context of both. Both sin and death. Christ gives us the victory. Therefore, my beloved. Why is therefore? Because of the rapture, the mystery just unveiled. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Pastors and leaders, if we preach the rapture, our people will be encouraged to even work harder for the Lord because time is short. Amen. The reason why we have people that have no heart for missions, no heart for souls and all that, they're holding tightly to this earth is because the blessed hope has been removed from their sight. You know, we are in the year of Jubilee for our church. Rhema is that this is the year of Jubilee. And I preached the very first Sunday this year from Leviticus 25. There's something very, very beautiful about Leviticus 25 in talking about buying property, buying lands during the year of Jubilee. Or before Jubilee, there is an instruction from God. Now, this is applicable for them in the Old Testament, but the principle, watch this, Leviticus 25. When you buy land from your neighbor, the price you pay must be based on the number of years since the last Jubilee. The seller must set the price by taking into account the number of years remaining till the next Jubilee. The more years until the next Jubilee, the higher the price. The fewer years, the lower the price. After all, the person selling the land is actually selling you a certain number of harvests. So if Jubilee is like 49 years from now, we just passed Jubilee, then whatever you sell is expensive. All right, you gotta pay more. You buy more. Am I right? But if next year is the year of Jubilee, let's say you stay in Israel, all right, at that time, you know that next year is the year of Jubilee. When you buy, will you buy at a higher cost? Of course not. There's only 1 year left, 2 years left, 5 years left. Depending on when is Jubilee, determines the valuation. So how do we value the things that we are holding on? Nothing wrong with studying hard. In fact, the Bible says, occupy till I come, Jesus said. Your hands gotta be busy, keep on doing. Don't be lazy saying he's coming back. I'm not gonna work. All right? I'm not gonna study anymore. Jesus coming back, you know? And these are the slothful ones. The Bible says, actually, we saw just now, therefore, what? Be steadfast, be unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Can I have a good amen? In fact, teaching the blessed hope, a lot of people say, you know, you teach the blessed hope, people become lazy. Yeah, you know, whatever you preach, there'll be always lazy ones. Always. Amen. Regardless of who the preacher is or what passage from the Bible you teach from. All right? But you cannot judge a truth based on the few. Are you listening? The truth is that in 1 Corinthians 15, when that is taught, when the rapture is taught, the mystery is unveiled. Therefore, my brethren, become steadfast in the work of the Lord, abounding in the work of the Lord. Parents, do you know when the rapture happens? Your children will never, ever step into a hospital ever again. Do you know that when the rapture happens, there'll be no such thing as your children dying in the future? They cannot die anymore. There are no hospitals. Your children will have a brand new body forever. Think about it. our hearts, you know. And, but Pastor, in this new body, will we be able to taste our food? Because I love sashimi. I love sushi. Well, in Philippians, it says this, in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. So our bodies will be like His body. Remember, Jesus told Thomas, touch me. A ghost does not have, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. That was His resurrected body. Our bodies will be transformed like His glorious body. All right? How many can say our bodies are lowly? Right? Even now. Okay? But it will be transformed, conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Every time it teaches a rapture, it says something practical. This is how you stand fast. Therefore, the power to stand fast. Can you see it? This idea, when you teach the rapture, is not practical. You know, it's a sweet lullaby or la la land. You know, for me, Pastor Prince, you know, I don't teach rapture because it will all pan out. He comes. Doesn't come, you know. There's too much confusion down here. That's your excuse for not studying the Bible. And you're robbing the church of the blessed hope. Because the last part of the grace of God, deny ungodliness, is yes, the first part, but the last part says looking for the blessed hope. And we are robbing the church of the blessed hope. Everyone who has this hope, if a pastor preaches this, all right, the congregation has a blessed hope. That hope purifies. Amen. In fact, there is a parable that Jesus says about a servant that says in his heart, my Lord delays His coming. Look at the result of wrong believing. He says, my Lord delays His coming. The next thing you know, He's beating up the manservants and maidservants. In other words, if you don't believe the imminency of His coming for you, all right, the result is you come against the new commandment, which is love one another. Can you see that? Are you all learning, people? Who are you going to see when He comes? Jesus. Okay, let's try again. This is quite serious. After I teach all these things, I realize that y'all don't know who is coming. Oh boy. Let's try again. Wow, talk so much. Finally, I just realized. Y'all know who's appearing we're talking about. Yeah, come on. Come on, church. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Your bridegroom, the one who loved you. Apostle Prince, don't you know that after we are raptured, there'll be the judgment seat of Christ? Well, number one, there is no word for judgment seat. All right? I know they call it judgment seat in English, King James and all that. But the original word is Bema seat of Christ. Bema seat is also the seat where the Stephanos, the crown, is given to all the champions in those days. They come to the Bema seat. Y'all watched the movie Ben-Hur? When Ben-Hur went round and round and round, remember that? And he won, finally. He came to the Bema seat. That's the Bema seat. I want to announce to you, however it's been taught to you, we are not going to stand at the white throne of God to be judged for our sins. We have passed from death to life. Amen. We have forgiveness of sins. Are you listening? By Him, we are justified from all things. When you stand before the Lord Jesus at the Bema seat of Christ, don't forget, the judge, you're going to call Him the judge. The judge is your righteousness. Another thing, have you ever considered the fact that when you stand before Him at the Bema seat of Christ after the rapture, you are standing in your new body? Will He, at that time, tell you, go to hell? Of course not. Some people, they're not settled in their hearts with the message of grace or the gospel of grace. They don't realize that we are forgiven. Amen. There's no wrath in the future. And they believe teaching this will cause license, when actually teaching this will cause true holiness, as we've proven. Teaching on the blessed hope does not produce lazy people. It produces people abounding in the work of the Lord. Pure people, zealous for good works. Boy, I'm glad I'm in this church. I really am glad I'm in this church. Listening to these truths. Amen? Am I preaching from the Bible? Come on, am I preaching from the Bible? Let's bring this to a close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the more you see the day coming, let's not forsake the assembly. I'm so glad y'all came today. Because, you know, in Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching, as that jubilee, that final jubilee comes closer and closer. Amen. Let's hold the things of this earth. Yes, let's work hard. Let's study hard. Amen. You are a student. And let's be involved in social outreach. All right. Let's be a blessing to mankind. Amen. But remember this. Hold it lightly. Because He's coming. Amen. The key to having a heart that's untroubled in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. The next verse says, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Can I be good? Amen. Amen. The bridegroom is coming. Amen. I say the bridegroom is coming. Amen. For his bride. And let's look at the final chapter of the book of Revelation in closing. It says here, I, Jesus, have sent, this is the final chapter of the entire Bible. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Straight away, you see what? The root is something that produced his deity. He produced David. All right? And I am the offspring of David. I came out of David. That's his humanity. He's deity and he's humanity. 100% man, 100% God. The bright and morning star. To the church, he appears as the bright and morning star. This is the final chapter of the New Testament. But the final chapter of the Old Testament is Malachi or Malachi. And the final chapter of the entire Old Testament is this. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. S-U-N. For the church, he comes as the bright and morning star. For Israel, he comes as the sun. Which one comes first in a day? The morning star or the sun? Which one comes first? Oh, you're not sure. The bright and morning star, right? In fact, it appears very early, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., you can see it already. All right, most people believe it's Venus. Right? But it's the bright and morning star, known as the bright and morning star. Jesus says, I am the bright and morning star. When the world is dark, get ready. I'm coming. Amen. The world is dark right now. In other words, it's coming for the church first. And then, all right, when it becomes like sunny, he's dealing with Israel again. And to Israel, he comes as the S-U-N. Okay? So go back to Revelation, the last chapter of the entire Bible. And the Spirit and the bride say it. Just like Rebecca. Finally, that unnamed servant brought her throughout that wilderness, days and nights through the wilderness with all her mates accompanying her. And every night at the fireplace, she would say, tell me more about Isaac. This man, I've never met him. And he says, well, he's a son the father loves very much. And to him, the father has given everything. In fact, tonight, I feel like telling you the story of how one day God told Abraham, his father, to offer him. And she began to hear with rapt attention. Same thing the Holy Spirit is conducting us to this earth, this wilderness. And we love the one whom we have not seen, the one we're going to marry. Amen. Now, we are remarried to him, but the celebration of the marriage is going to happen. We see him face to face. And then finally, she saw Isaac. And I shared with you all last Sunday, she fell off her camel right into his arms. You all remember the song? Pogol Shipta. Pogol Shipta. He will sweep us off his feet, the bridegroom will. And God is waiting. Three times he says, I'm coming speedily. I'm coming suddenly. Three times in the final chapter, he must really, really want us to know. He's longing for us. Are you longing for him? We're not for Bible, I mean, a head full of Bible knowledge. We are for a heart full of passion and love for our Lord because He first loved us. Amen? And He's waiting for the Spirit and the Bride. When the Holy Spirit and the Bride can say, come. Some of us cannot say come because our hearts are too bound. Our Jubilee idea is so far away. We value the things of this life too much for us to say, come, Lord Jesus. But for us, with bridal affection, you see His glorious beauty. You say, come, Lord Jesus. It's the end of all suffering. As far as you and your children are concerned, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. For how long? Quite a long time. He's waiting for the Spirit and the Bride to say, come. Amen? Stand to your feet. If you have never made Jesus your Savior and your Lord, He died on the cross for your sins. Long before you knew Him, He loved you and He died for your sins. While we yet sinners, Christ died for us. And on the third day, God raised Him from the dead. Because death, not just sin, but death is hateful to God. God never meant for man to die. And Jesus conquered death and rose from the dead. And the only thing believers are waiting for is the inheritance of a glorified body. But friend, if you've never made Jesus your Savior and Lord, I want to help you right now. Pray this prayer. And in one instant, just like our bodies will be in one instant, suddenly be transformed. Right now, you'll be passed from darkness into light. You will pass from death into life. If that is you, you want this, pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believed that You died on the cross for my sins. You bore my judgment and my condemnation because You loved me. And You rose from the dead, having conquered death for me. You are my Lord, my Savior, my lover, my bridegroom forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. The gathering of God's people today. I believe you've been blessed. God bless you. You are dismissed.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Hello, I'm so glad to see you today. My friend, if you're going through a night season or a challenging time right now, I just want to encourage you to keep hearing the good news of the gospel. You see, the more you hear about our Lord Jesus' love for you and about the perfect work He has done at the cross, the more faith will come and the more you'll be able to effortlessly receive every provision that you need. And this month, we have prepared a special teaching resource that we know will greatly encourage you and anyone you share it with. My friend, the Lord loves you, and He has a word in season to help you. As you listen to the series and soak in the good news of Jesus, faith will arise in your heart to receive every blessing He has prepared for you in the days to come. So be sure to request this month's special teaching resource and get ready to receive your breakthrough.
This month, as a thank you for your gift of support to our ministry, receive Joseph's brand new 4-CD album, Positioned to Receive Your Miracle.
Discover how you can tap into God's constant supply of blessings and receive the breakthrough you need.
Do you know God is constantly supplying the Holy Spirit to you? Which means God is constantly supplying the Spirit and God is constantly working miracles.
And for a specific gift, you will also receive the How to Pray and See Results 3-DVD album and a prayer journal. Discover Bible truths and practical keys to help you pray effective and powerful prayers in faith.
When we pray, it's not to soothe. We pray to bring heaven down to earth. Ask in my name and you shall receive. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, you will receive.
Request these faith-building resources today. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.